Dust is gone for good. Now that you know the dirt, say goodbye to the dust. Swiffer Heavy Duty Dusters. Stop cleaning. Start Swiffering.
Welcome to the Road Rage. We are back.
I need to get the text line involved in this as well. 10607 says, "Hey, Walt, don't be so hard on yourself. I'm taking a stand for road rage degenerates and storming the sports radio capital. Deptula for president, vice president Ellison, 2024. You know, I'm thinking of running. Texter said, "Walt, well, people are saying you're wrong today. You said last year that this season offenses would be better. The quarterback record would be broken again and again and again, year after year after year." I did say that. You know, I think it was obvious to see. I know Burrow posted such an extreme year last year that people thought, well, that'll never be replicated. But all the evidence in the world said that it would. And because it had for five straight years, and now it has again. I have not yet confirmed that, but I am virtually certain that Mac Jones broke that record last night because Burrow was at 202, I think, even last year. And hold on. And I'm pretty confident that Mac Jones broke that number. He was just over it as we entered the two playoff games. And this says 13 games. Is that right? It's 13 games, right? Through games of it is. Yeah, Mac Jones finished with a passer efficiency mark of 203.06, breaking Burrow's record from last year. So that is correct. So in six straight years, we have seen that record broken. That tells you all you need to know about this game. And we did talk about that all year before the year. You know, we also talked about the talent. You know, people are just waking up to Christian Barmore now. You don't need to wake up to him now. All you need to do is go back to the Road Rage combined ACC all SEC team, and I had Barmore on it, even though Barmore wasn't a starter. In fact, I said that we'll find out whether Saban wakes up and plays the guy who's actually the best defensive lineman on that team, because he wasn't playing him last year. And Barmore turned out to be the star of that game last night, and now people are talking about him as a round one pick. And of course, Devontae Smith, even last year, you know, people keep talking about how, well, he improved so much. My A. You know, if you know what the talent looks like, you saw it last year. With Devontae Smith, I said all last season when he had Judy and had Ruggs and had Waddle, all year I said Smith was the best of those four receivers. And people didn't believe that then. I wonder if they believe it now. No, they think that Smith just woke up this year and suddenly got better. No, he was the best last year. He was just in a mix of guys. And now he stands out on his own, and now people are finally, you know, rightfully talking about him as a potential 2, 3, 4 pick in the draft, when we've been saying that all along. All along, I've had him as wide receiver one for most of this year. And I think that now again, Sarkisian, I'm coming to you, people on the phone lines. Oops, what did I do there? But Sarkisian's been brilliant in the way he's utilized him as well. You know, look, that's why I love Sarkisian. That's why we advise South Carolina that he should be one of the guys you consider, because he's a brilliant offensive mind. And I've had people want to argue that. I mean, is that not self-evident now? I mean, Sarkisian really was the featured coach of that game last night. It wasn't Saban. It wasn't Day. the featured coach of that game last night, and I do think Pete Golding did a really good job, but the featured coach of that game last night was Sarkisian. In all the innovative ways, he schemes Devontae Smith open. Now, look, that's a guy you want to be able to scheme open, all right? I mean, you're starting with the best talent in the country. But then you add in the Sarkisian factor and all the innovative ways he utilizes them. And that's what you should do. That's just that's smart coaching, and you credit them for that. But, you know, look, once again, the best offensive team won. This team is not the best team of all time. Again, that's laughable. They barely beat Florida in the SEC championship game. So let's stop with the best team of all time stuff. They're not anywhere near that. But what they are is, along with LSU from a year ago, they are built for now. They are built for this game we are playing. And because they're built for it, they're going to win it. And next year, as these teams advance towards the finish line, all you're going to need to do again is well, not what I did, follow the trail, but pick the team that could score 50. I thought we had two teams that would score 50. As it turns out, we only had one. And recently, there's been one. Pick that team out. Pick the team that's the best offensive team, that throws it better than anybody else, that throws it vertically, that has better weapons on the outside. They're going to be the team that wins. If you want me to guess right now, next year, what the national championship game would be, as of today, I would say that your national championship game next season will be Clemson, Oklahoma. If you ask me to guess today, just based on just that criteria, in other words, which of those teams will best fit that criteria, I think it'll be those two teams. Jimmy, Josh, Rick. Josh, my buddy Josh Phillips on. Good. Jimmy, how are you?
Hey. Okay, how you doing?
Good, Jimmy. Appreciate you getting in.
Okay. I thought Ohio State made Alabama look better than what it was. That's what I really believe.
I think Alabama's one of the great offenses in the history of college football. I think the defense still stinks, but I think everybody's defense stunk.
I'm like the other guy, and I said it before it happened the other week when I was talking to you. I believe they put all their chips on playing Clemson. And
I think that's true. Coach in hindsight, Dave, I think that's true.
He didn't even look like he was. I mean, you know, you can tell where somebody pretty well knows the writing's on the wall. He didn't even look like he was competing. I guess it's like he beat Clemson, and that's what he wanted to do.
See, you know what? You know, Jimmy, you know what? Let me just say something about that. That sounds odd, but I think you're right. And I think there were signs of it last night. He's normally an aggressive guy. He went very conservative numerous times. It was almost like he was doing the Notre Dame thing in a different way, saying, okay, we're not going to win. Let's just get out of this the best we can. I felt that at times last night, too, whereas in the Clemson game, there's no question, you know, he would have done anything to win that game. And the team looked prepared, and he had them prepared. But they did not look prepared last night, and again, I get maybe Fields didn't practice most of last week, and maybe there were, but that's all part of the same thing. And as I said, everybody has those issues. That's one of the things people complained about with Ohio State as an advantage. And maybe they were right in that too. You don't get to have it both ways. You don't get to reinvent. Here's what you don't get to do. In my business, you should never get to reinvent the outcome. You should never be able to say, well, I think this team's going to win by 20, and then they lose by 20, and you still say, well, you know, the other nine times they played, I would have had the result right. No. And that's why I was wrong about last night's game, and if they played again tomorrow, I'd still be wrong. And if they played a week from now, no matter who is back, I'd still be wrong. The Bama was the better team, and they deserved to win.
I want to ask you one question before you leave. I won't take up much of that. They do something. They did it against Clemson, and I noticed they was doing it against Alabama last night. when a tackle was made or a quarterback slide, they come in on top of their legs every time, like they're trying to injure somebody. I know that's probably legal, but it's kind of dirty. Did you notice that?
That they did what?
All right. It's just say, for instance, I can say more, but when Jones was on the ground, he slid. They already come with two people, and they come at.
Jimmy, look, I don't want to get into that because you know what? I've seen Clemson guys do that too. I've seen players from every team in the country. I've seen players from every team in the country do that stuff.
It's kind of something. I mean, if they outlaw a lot of stuff, when you cripple a kid's legs, you ruin his whole career. I mean, if a kid's on the ground, you're not supposed to hit him. I mean, because it ain't pro football. They ain't going to get up and run.
Yep. I got you, Jimmy. I appreciate the call as always, Jimmy. Thank you. I think you're spot on in most of that stuff you said. I don't know about that last part, but I think most of the rest of that is you're spot on. Josh Phillips and then Rick. Josh, good to have you, Josh.
Hey, Walt. How's it going, man?
Well, it's going better for me than it is for all you defensive-minded people. All you defensive coordinators. You know, I'm thinking that I'm thinking, Josh, that honey truck driver and toll booth operator and defensive coordinator are like all jobs that are on the same level right now. It's not a job I would want to have, Josh. Let me ask you this. 20 years ago, could you have ever imagined what you're seeing now?
No, and that was one of the things about the game last night. And, you know, moving forward, I'm going to be very interested to see how Bill O'Brien navigates the waters because he's not a Steve Sarkisian. He's not an RPO guy. He's a pro, run the ball, play action pass. I know what Alabama was at the beginning of Saban's career until finally Saban, after a lot of complaining, realized, well, hey, look, if this is what the rules are going to be, I may as well take advantage of them as well. And that's exactly what we saw last night.
What?
Old man who had whined and complained about the new age RPO system of football is now the king of RPO tempo football. And I think it's fascinating that with Sark leaving, apparently, you know, Bill O'Brien's going to be the next offensive guy there. And if there's any drop in point production, they'll run him out of Tuscaloosa quick.
He had Brian Daboll there too. Saban is probably just going to give him the film of this whole season and say, hey, here's what we do now, Bill. And you're going to do the same exact thing. So learn
exactly.
It.
Exactly. You adjust.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
You know, Dan Gailey.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. This is the new world order. But Josh, I mean, six straight years, an all-time NCAA passer efficiency record set. All the rules at every level of football favor offense. And it just looks, Josh, that either you can score 50 points and you matter, or you can't and you're not winning anything. And defense, I mean, who was even remotely good on defense this year? The answer is nobody.
Yeah, and that was the thing about last night's game that I was really astonished is how Alabama just simplified and broke down Ohio State's defense to their absolute simplest. And, you know, when I saw Ohio State get out of their two-high shell and they started doing their post-snap man-free concept, I thought, okay, this isn't good. Because you could really tell that Ohio State said, all right, we're going to try to stop the run, and we'll hold on against the pass.
Yeah.
Well, once Sarkisian identified that that's what they were going to do, and that's all they could do, and he got Devontae Smith matched up on Tough Borland, that game was over. And you know, there was three spots And that was really fascinating.
And Josh, and look, that was a 3-by-1, and they ran Smith on a crossing route, and the corner completely misread it, the whole thing, and they basically fed him some eye candy, and it left Borland. Borland can't cover running backs on the
board,
but not just a linebacker, Josh. Ohio State's worst coverage linebacker, who has struggled to cover running backs out of the backfield all year long. That's the guy, and you can see him at the end. He was moving like a three-legged pregnant water bottle. He was limping. He was basically doing the John Wayne run, trying to cover Devontae Smith.
Yeah, but there were three areas in that game in the first half I thought was really interesting. When Ohio State had
Hold that thought, Josh. We'll pick this conversation up on the other side. And Rick, I'm coming right to you. We'll be right back. Walt Tiptula, Road Rage, quick break. You want in 654-7627. It's a good time to get in. Quick break.
Every week here on the Clemson Tigers Network, you get the chance to talk to Coach.
He'll fire the three from the top of that knee and hit.
Join us weekly for Tiger Calls with Clemson basketball head coach Brad Brownell. It's your chance to talk to Coach about all the big games, big plays, and all the action this season.
He'll lead it to Trapp, who dunks it down.
Join us each and every Monday night from 7 to 8 right here on the Clemson Tigers Network.
Catch Tiger Calls every Monday night at 7 o'clock right here on the flagship station for Clemson Athletics, The Roar.
The Health Dare is reversing symptoms of type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, sleep apnea, and IBS in just 30 days. And it's so easy. You don't have to go to the gym, and you can still even have fast food. I lost 80 pounds, and I've seen thousands of people reverse their symptoms. I even saw a man in a wheelchair get off his insulin in 2 weeks. I promise you won't fail. If you do, you get your money back. Call 1-877-I-DARE-ME or go to idareme.com. I dare you.
Feel the wind with a Tohatsu portable outboard motor from McCurry's Outboard Repairs. Reliability, dependability, and simplicity is what you get in a Tohatsu portable outboard motor. Available from 2.5 horsepower to 20 horsepower. Tohatsu, the oldest commercial outboard motor builder in the world since 1956. With a 5-year factory warranty, see your local Tohatsu dealer. McCurry's Outboard Repairs at the Greenville Boat Show, January 28th through the 31st. Call 225-8704.
This is for the men who never settle. The ones who refuse to let happy hour end without squeezing in one more round. The type of guys who would rather sweat from unspeakable places than stop eating the spiciest wings on the menu. And the men who still chuckle when they order their wings bone in. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
Who wants to settle for a single TV? With more TVs, bigger screens, plus our fabulous scenic views, there's more to watch at Twin Peaks.
Now that the rush of the holidays are over, you might realize that you have more stuff than space. Cox Builders in Williamson has utility buildings of all shapes and sizes to turn your overflow eyesore into storage for today and the future. Call today for more information on the storage shed that you need at 864-847-9009. Be sure to mention promo code ROAR for a special deal. You can also visit them online at coxbuildersgroup.com.
Hi, it's Guy the Insurance Guy. We've all known someone, a friend or a family member or a neighbor who passed away suddenly. It's something incredibly hard and we don't even like to think about it. But what if that person was you? What would happen to your family? How would they survive? Do you have enough life insurance? It's critically important. Give us a call today for a free, no-obligation quote. 864-467-8738. Don't delay. Life insurance, it's not for the people who die. It's for the people who live. I'm Guy, the Insurance Guy. My company is The Insurance Source. Please give us a call today. Your family is counting on you.
A new year means out with the old, including those old, outdated carpet cleaners, and in with the advanced, state-of-the-art clean from Zero Res. Only Zero Res can give you their patented cleaning process that uses powered water technology, not harsh chemicals, for an insanely clean home. Right now, when you mention my name, Mickey, get 3 rooms of carpet cleaned for only $109. Schedule your Zero Res cleaning today. Call 864-558-7300 or book online at ZeroResGreenville.com.
Here's the dirt on Dust. It may seem fine, but it's actually made of dead skin cells and dust mite droppings. That's where Swiffer Heavy Duty Dusters come in, with thousands of specially coated fibers to trap and lock dust in one swipe. Dust can't hide on ceiling fans and bookshelves anymore. When you're done, just remove the disposable cloth and voila! That dust is gone for good. Now that you know the dirt, say goodbye to the dust. Swiffer Heavy Duty Dusters. Stop cleaning. Start Swiffering.
It's Dabo again. One of the fastest growing crimes these days is package theft. We're all ordering more online, and a stack of boxes on your front porch can be quite the temptation. Priority One Security provides the protection you need with their video doorbell system. You can record any movement or answer the door from your smartphone, no matter where you are. Priority One, trust in us.
See us on the web at PriorityOneSecurity.com. That's Priority, the number one, Security.com. 888-407-SAFE.
All sports, all the time, from the Roar, 105.5 in Greenville and Anderson, 97.5 and AM 1560 in Spartanburg.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight. I got the feeling that something ain't right. I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you. Yes, I'm stuck in the middle with you. And I'm wondering what it is I should do. It's so hard to keep the smile from my face. Losing control, yeah, I'm all over the place. Clowns to the left of me.
Welcome to the Road Rage. We are back. I want to get to a text in a few minutes from, I think it was James, on offense and defense. And James and I are going to respectfully disagree. But let me get back to Josh. Josh, and then Rick, I'll get to you in a second. All right, Josh, I don't know where we left off, but you were talking about a couple points you wanted to make on it.
Yeah, there were several key moments, I thought, in that first half where Ohio State had a chance to really make this thing a game. And I really felt coming into this game, in order for Ohio State to win the game, Justin Fields was going to have to break down Alabama's defense with his legs. And when he ran, he got some chunk yardage. He had a couple of 35-yard runs.
Yeah.
But I don't know if his hip was bothering him enough, but I thought he was going to have to do that on a consistent basis throughout the game, and they weren't able to do that. But the three areas.
Yeah, there was no design Fields run until like the middle of the second quarter, and even then, I'm not sure that was designed. So, yeah, I mean, it was clearly, you know, when you saw the Ohio State Clemson game, Fields was an enormous part of that game plan, the quarterback run game. Until the Skalski hit, he had like 50 yards rushing until the Skalski hit in the second quarter, and then that changed that. But it was a big part of the game plan from the start, and I think it would have been in this game, but it was clear that wasn't part of the game plan. So, you know, I told you all you needed to know. Even when he was running, Josh, look, when he was running on those 30, 40 yard runs, he had nobody around him, and you could see he wasn't running with the same physical abandon. He looked like he was looking for a place to get down.
Yeah, and there was a couple of runs where he smartly got out of bounds really quick. But and I know you got to run, but the three areas that I thought really decided that game in the first half was, number one, I was astonished that Ryan Day kicked that field goal instead of going for a touchdown. Yep. I thought that was a tactical mistake where they got a short field. They had a chance to cut into the lead. make it a one-score game, and you decide to kick the field goal instead of trying to win the national championship.
He was conservative.
Play it like a regular season. Yeah, I
he was conservative through the night. What about the possession before the end of the half? How about the possession before the end of the half?
Well, that was going to be my second point is, you know, with 5 minutes, it's a 28-17 ball game. You've got to get some first downs. You can't turn the ball over. Alabama was trying to get a 2-for-1. And if you get the ball, you get a couple of first downs, you're not going to be able to give them the ball back. And I thought they had time to be patient to make that happen. Instead, Alabama forces a punt. I didn't understand what Ryan Day was trying to do in that series. Alabama gets the ball, goes down and scores, makes it 35-17, and the game was relatively over. Because you knew when Alabama got the ball back coming out of the break that they were going to score because Ohio State had absolutely no answer for what they were doing in their passing attack. And I think you'll see Ryan Day as well as defensive coaches around the country are going to have to really take a hard look at what is it we're going to have to do to slow this down. Now, I know a lot of people are saying, Alabama got away with a lot of linemen downfields, and that's part of it. But in games like
this, wait. Here it is. This is the defensive coordinator alert talk. Now I want you all out there to listen to this now, because this is it. This is it. This is the lament. I'm telling you right now. This is not just Josh Phillips in this. This
15 yards down.
See, this is it. Defensive coordinators think RPOs are cheating. That is the bottom line. That's the biggest argument in college football right now. Offenses love RPO. Defensive coordinators all view it as cheating.
Yeah, I mean, you can't have Alex Leatherwood at 360 pounds, 9 to 15 yards downfield on pass play. Okay, that's not right. All right, there's enough rules that favor the offense. You are. I mean, there's going to have to be a move towards the evolution. You know, and that's what we see in football. You know, the offense will make an evolutionary change. 10, 15 years ago, it was from run orientation up to the spread. Now the spread has evolved in the RPO game, and defenses had to catch up.
But they're not catching up, Josh.
3 years.
But they're not catching up. They're falling. See, that's my concern. They're falling further behind every year. But that RPO argument is an enormous part of this conversation. Of the advantages that offense have, this is an absolute fact. I'm joking about it a minute ago, but defensive coordinators all believe that RPO game is cheating, that it allows offensive linemen to get illegally downfield. And offensive coordinators, on the other hand, love the RPO game because it is cheating.
Well, I'm just glad you admitted it.
I do.
Because a lot of coaches don't admit it.
Yeah.
But and you'll probably see that as a point of emphasis in the offseason. And I'm going to be interested to see going into next year.
You're going to lose. You're going to lose. You're going to lose, Josh, because everybody wants offense.
Well, you can't have tough Borland on Devontae Smith with Alex Leatherwood 12 yards downfield. That's 80 on everybody. You can't
defend
it. I'll see you, Walt.
All right, Josh. That's great. You can't have tough Borland on Devontae Smith with Alex Leatherwood 12 yards downfield. But this is the heart of the matter. We talk about all these advantages that offense has. One of the big advantages is the whole notion of the RPO game, because defensive coordinators think it's cheating. They just do. And offensive coordinators think it's the greatest thing ever. And here's the bad news for the DC guys. They're not changing it. Everyone likes offense in the game. If they do change it, they'll probably expand the amount of yards offensive linemen can go downfield. Yeah, if they change, it'll probably be that change. Yeah, no, look, being a defensive coordinator right now sucks. It just does. Everything is working against you.
And that's why I'm gonna disagree with our texter in 1 second when we get to that. Rick, how are you?
Hey, I'm great, Walt. How are you?
Good, Rick. Appreciate you getting in.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call. First of all, Happy New Year to you.
Same to you.
Listen, thank you so much. Just a couple of things really quick, and I'm going to make them quick, and then I'm going to ask you a question, and I'll take the answer off the air so it saves some time for you and all. But obviously, I mean, I'm diehard Alabama fan since 1981. Bear Bryant days and all, but anyway, the whole thing on like the offense, the defense thing, obviously being able to score points, that's the object of the game. You don't score points, you can't win the game, you know, no question about it. Also, on the flip side of it, from a defensive guy, I'm more of an offensive guy. I play quarterback and stuff, so I love the offensive side of the ball and all. But also at the same time, there's got to be a defense, and your defense obviously has to be able to stop the offense of your opponent. And without a strong defense, you're not going to be able to stop that opponent, regardless of you know, how strong that the offensive weapons are for the offense. I mean, I would say that by far this is probably one of the strongest. If Waddle would have been 100% last night, there's no way anybody in the nation was going to stop Alabama. With Waddle and Devontae Smith and Najee Harris, there's just no way anybody in the nation. I don't care. You could put two of Clemson's teams on the field, you're not going to stop Alabama's offense with 100% on with the team that Alabama could have put on the field offensively last night. But obviously your defense has to be able to stop that. So, you know, that was the big point with Ohio State. I think that's really why Ohio State, besides the fact that they had revenge on their mind, they were able to stop Clemson. They had a really strong defensive game. I think they had a great defensive scheme, a plan in place.
I don't think so, Rick. I don't think so. I just don't think Clemson was good enough on offense. I don't think Clemson was good enough on the offensive line. I don't think Clemson didn't run the ball effectively all year. That put the whole pressure on Trevor Lawrence. Clemson did not have the normal outside receivers Clemson has. I just don't think they were able to exploit the issues Ohio State has.
Isn't that what everybody screams about? Is how awesome that the Clemson offense is with Trevor Lawrence and his core. I mean, that was kind of the point. And in Ohio State, shut them down.
I think it was about the Clemson offense. I just don't think the Clemson offense was good enough. I think you have to score 50 points. You know, let me read people this, and this applies to the conversation we'll have on the text line as well, because I've referenced this before, but let me just read this, because this is coming from a guy who historically is known as the best defensive mind in the college game. Alabama Crimson Tide's Nick Saban concedes defense is no longer the key to victory. Alabama coach Nick Saban has finally relented, albeit reluctantly. He said college football has officially become an offensive game. It used to be the good defense beat good offense. Good defense doesn't beat good offense anymore, Saban told ESPN on Friday. It's just like last week. Georgia is as good a defense as we do on an offense, and we scored 41 points on them in a 41-24 win. That's not the way it used to be. It used to be if you had a good defense, other people weren't going to score. You were always going to be in the game. I'm telling you, this is a quote from Saban. It ain't that way anymore. He said, I don't like it. Yeah, he said, I don't like it, he said with a wry smile. But we just have to make sure we have an offense that's that way and that explosive, which we have. And again, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying, if Nick Saban is saying this, then I think everyone should believe it, because he's the ultimate defensive guy, and he himself is telling you that defense does not matter anymore. That this is completely an offensive game. That all the rules favor it. He didn't mention RPO. At least maybe he does. No, I'm sorry. This is what we just talked about, all right? We just talked about this with Josh Phillips 2 seconds ago. quote, it's hard to coach defense now because there are so many run-pass concepts in what everybody does, Saban said. I mean, it's really, really hard to coach the secondary because you get so many mismatches back there. That's it. That's it right there. That is telling you everything you need to know. And if you don't believe what he's saying, and I don't mean you, but all you need to do is look at what I cited at the end of last year and mentioned all year. Joe Burrow and LSU, this is all you need to do to think about this for a second. The whole world seemed to be in agreement that Joe Burrow had the greatest year in history and that the LSU offense was the greatest offense in the history of the game, and people thought that team was the greatest team of all time. 1 year later, Alabama just bettered everything LSU did. Mac Jones broke Joe Burrow's quarterback rating number that was thought to be invincible. For six straight years, quarterbacks have set new all-time NCAA passing efficiency numbers. And here's a newsflash. It's going to be seven next year because that number will absolutely be broken next year and somebody else will be back here scoring 50 points. And that's all it comes down to now. The defense is at an enormous competitive disadvantage. And it's the whole game is when you get to the end, can you score 50? If you can, you can win. If you can't, you have no chance.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hopefully that'll be Bama next year. Six championships in 12 years. I think we're doing pretty good.
Pretty amazing.
All right. One question, and then I'll take your statements off the air on it.
Yep.
Bill O'Brien, how do you think he's going to do for us next year? Thanks all so much. Yep. You guys have an awesome day.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I mean, let me say this. I think Bill O'Brien's going to walk into some inherent disadvantages. You're going to have a new quarterback. Your Devontae Smith is going to be gone. Now, that entire group of round one wide receivers, which we said last year when people kept saying, well, Tua has two first-round receivers. And every time I heard that, I would say, no, he has four first-round receivers. You just don't recognize Smith and Waddle as first-round wide receivers yet. But you will in time. And now you see that. Well, all four of those guys are gone. All four are gone. Najee Harris is gone. Mac Jones is gone. Leatherwood is gone. You know, much of the offensive line gone. Alabama actually is going to be a bit of a rebuild on offense next year. Now, Mechie is super talented, and you still have guys. You still have receivers. There's no question about it. But Bill O'Brien's not going to get to work with one of those four guys. And so there is going to be some newness and some things to work through. On paper, I would say this. On paper, next year's Alabama team does not look like one of these teams we're talking about that's capable of scoring 50 points. They don't look like it. Not to my way of thinking right now. To my way of thinking at this moment, based on my expectations for who's coming back and who's playing and what we know about them, the two teams that most likely fit the 50-point mold we're talking about are going to be Oklahoma and Clemson. Again, if I had to pick a national championship game for next year as of today, I would pick Oklahoma and Clemson. Let me add this. Georgia would be my wild card. Because I think the potential is there. I still don't trust them enough. That'd be my question. Quick break. We'll be right back. Walt Tiptula, Road Rage.
Every week here on the Clemson Tigers Network, you get the chance to talk to Coach.
He'll fire the three from the top of the knee and hit.
Join us weekly for Tiger Calls with Clemson basketball head coach Brad Brownell. It's your chance to talk to Coach about all the big games, big plays, and all the action this season.
He'll lead it to Trapp, who dunks it down.
Join us each and every Monday night from 7 to 8 right here on the Clemson Tigers Network.
Catch Tiger Calls every Monday night at 7 o'clock right here on the flagship station for Clemson Athletics, The Roar.
I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut, I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
Hi, I'm Glenn Reese with Krispy Kreme Donut Company in Anderson and Spartanburg. We're open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Drop by for a delicious donut and a cup of coffee. Pick up a box for your business or church meeting. Share them with family and friends during a time of need. Call Spartanburg and Anderson Krispy Kreme.
I'm a donut nut. I'm a donut nut. I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
Dining out can be a challenge, but at Joe's New Yorker Pizza, your safety and comfort is important. We clean and sanitize regularly, and we've chosen to remain at 50% capacity with all our staffs wearing masks. Come to our Clemson or Seneca Joe's New York Pizza to enjoy pizza, meatballs, calzones, salads, and of course, the sauce. We look forward to serving you and your family in the safest way possible. In person, curbside, or to go. Joe's New Yorker Pizza, Patrick Square, Clemson, Seneca on 123.
It's moving day, and Tiger Moving Company is here to help. Skip the headache. Hire the professionals with the right tools for your move. Their clean-cut and reliable team pack and assemble furniture seamlessly, so all you have to do is make yourself at home. To top this all off, they even start and stop the clock at your house, charging you a flat hourly rate. No rounding up. Call today at 908-9028 or email tigermoving@gmail.com to make your next move with Tiger Moving Company.
I'm Guy, the insurance guy. If you're like most folks, you don't think too much about insurance. It can be confusing and overwhelming and frustrating. If you're about to turn 65, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've got a stack of marketing for Medicare that never stops. It's enough to make your head spin. And the decisions that you make today could dramatically affect you for years down the road. But don't worry, there is help. Call me, Guy the Insurance Guy, and we'll walk you through your options so you can make the best choice for you. 864-467-8738. I'm Guy the Insurance Guy. My company is The Insurance Source. And what we do is simple. We make health insurance easier.
Winter weather is here. Don't let bad weather and snapping tree limbs leave you in the dark. Be prepared. With a Generac automatic whole home standby power solution from Carolina Generators, your local Generac Power Pro premier dealer ready to serve you. Give Carolina Generators a call at 864-232-5684 or visit them online at carolinagenerators.com to schedule your free in-home Power Pro assessment. Tell them Mickey from 105.5 sent you.
More live local sports than cars on Clemson Boulevard. You're listening to The Roar.
Welcome to the Road Rage. We're back. I'm coming to Stu on the phone line, but before I do, let me just continue with this little mini theme for a second. James on the text line wrote this 41 minutes ago. Walt, I don't buy that offense is king. How many times have we seen a great offense get shut down by better defense? Never anymore. He said Clemson, Ohio State have respectfully cost the other the national title the past 2 years. And then he added, to expand on the previous text, when Clemson won in 2018, they were up against a Bama team that could also put up 600 yards. Clemson won that game because of Wilkins and that defense. Defense still matters. I love your show, Walt. I just don't think it does. By the way, thank you very much for the kind words, James. I just don't think it does. I think it's obvious it doesn't anymore. That Bama team had other issues. Quarterback banged up, other issues. But I think now we're seeing this every year. We're seeing a team score 50 points in the national title game every year, and my belief is until you see two teams score 50 points. Outcomes are going to be predetermined. And the only way to win is to score 50. I just don't think. Now, look, can you have individual teams in individual years that have super talented defenses and that play better? Yes. But they can still be exposed. they can still be exposed. The ultimate litmus test on that would have been had Ohio State beaten Clemson last year and played LSU in the national title game. Because you would have had an Ohio State team just packed with round one defensive talent up against that LSU defense. And my belief is that Ohio State still would have been scorched. I mean, I just, again, Nick Saban is telling you this. And watch, look what's happened there. Look at the evolution in his program. He hasn't come to this willingly. He's been dragged to it kicking and screaming. This is not what he wants in football. He's an old school guy. Defense mattered to him. But he's being compelled to tell you that it doesn't anymore. And all you need to do is look at how they're playing. Look at how Alabama is playing now. And you know it's true. The whole focus of everything Alabama does has changed. And the RPO game is a big part of this discussion. You know, I was joking about it earlier because this is the gist of the matter. It's a big part of it. Defensive coaches believe that RPO game is cheating. They think it allows offensive linemen a competitive advantage of getting too far downfield. They think it's cheating. Offensive coordinators, however, love it because it just enhances their advantage. That's where we are. And that is why Saban's telling you, you cannot cover anybody on the back end. He's telling you that. He said it. He's not. I'm not changing his words. He said it. He said, basically, you know, you just have to, he's saying you have to score 50 points. And that's what I've been saying. I've been saying this long before he came out with this statement. And it just couldn't be more obvious in the way the game is being played. And it couldn't be more obvious in the records that are being set. Again, I encourage you just to think about this. 1 year ago, people said LSU was the greatest team of all time. Joe Burrow had the greatest quarterback season of all time. Okay? All time throughout all of the years of the history of the game. Now, 1 year later, people are saying Alabama has the best offense in the history of the game and that Mac Jones had the best quarterback season of all time. And factually, he broke Burrow's quarterback rating, his passer efficiency number. He broke it. And for six straight years, we have seen that record broken. That's never happened in history. No, there's never been any period anything close to that. For six straight years, it's been broken. And mark my words, just as I said last year, when Burrow posted that number, people said, well, that's it. I said, absolutely not. Someone will break it this year. And not only did someone break it, for a while, there were three someones who were ahead of that record. It ended up with just one. But you can mark it down again today on the 12th of January. Next year, someone else will break that record. That record's going to be broken every year until something in these rules change. Until defenses find some way to compete. Because right now, defenses are on absolute skates. And that's why I'm telling you, you can forget actually talking about it. And again, is it conceivable that in an individual year like last year, you can have an Ohio State team as a historically special defense? Yes. That's still conceivable. But it's almost like, you know, peeing in the wind. It's like a waste of time. Because these games are going to be determined by elite offenses. And the Don asked me, so why did Clemson fail? Why didn't Clemson have that type of offense this year? It's easy. It's the things that we've talked about. I have focused on, and I've repeated this, the maturity of offensive skill position players. It's not enough to have talent. Clemson had talent this year. You had Ngata and Latson and Ajoa Joe and E.J. Williams. But you had no maturity. Some of those guys were never healthy. E.J. Williams isn't a physically mature player. Ross would have been the physically mature piece. He's the piece you didn't have. And then offensive line was an issue because you didn't run the ball with the authority or the success that you need to run the ball to maintain the type of balance you wanted to have. Too much of the game was placed on Trevor, and he didn't have the outside receivers to do it. It doesn't, let me explain. It doesn't take moving a lot of pieces around to change the outcome. In other words, you know, if Clemson had a better interior offensive lineman or two, or a more ready interior, a more mature interior offensive lineman or two, and Clemson had a Devontae Smith, then you would have seen a completely different result to the season. It would have been Clemson scoring the 50 points. And so when you look ahead to next year and beyond, what you're looking for is you're looking for a team that has an experienced quarterback, that can run the football, that has a quality offensive line. You don't need to be great. Clemson has schemed around their offensive line for a long time now. You don't need to be great. You need to be adequate. Good. Solid. Solid. Let's stick with solid. But what you need is you need mature skill position players on offense. Mature, talented. Make sure I add talented. Mature, talented skill position players. And the teams that have those will be the teams that score the 50 points. And when I think ahead to next year, I'm thinking that Clemson's going to be one of those teams. And there are still some questions. There's some questions about that whole offensive line mix that we'll need to see. And I think Oklahoma has a chance to be one of those teams. Now, they'll lose their starting center, Creed Humphrey. Let me get to Stu here. Stu, how are you?
Hey, Walt. How are you, Ramona, today?
Good, Stu. Appreciate you getting in.
Hey, thank you. Look, I want to ask you a question. I want to get your opinion on something. And let me preface my question with saying this. I'm a lifelong Clemson fan, over 50 years. I went to my first ball game in 1971, and I support them whether they're, you know, back in the old days, 1-9 or 13-1. So it doesn't matter to me what kind of year they have in terms of how much support I give them. But something I've noticed over the past few years, and I'm certainly not credentialed to challenge Tony Elliott, but something that I've noticed as a fan is that at times our offensive play calling becomes predictable. And it becomes exposed in big games where you have adequate or more than adequate defenses. Like you said, not great defenses, but more than adequate. And so you mix in the predictability and play calling, and it makes an adequate defense look like a great defense. What's your take on that? And I'll take her off the air. Thank you, Walt.
Thank you, Stu. Appreciate the call. Look, I get that, but I don't think that's it. I do get the middle of the field conversation, and that seems to be a conversation that, you know, early in the year, people started to be a little excited about the use of the middle field. I think what you wound up with is a trade-off. You know, a year ago, you had the prime time outside receivers, but you didn't utilize the middle of the field at all. Then this year, the season starts, and you are doing a little better job of utilizing the middle of the field, and you think that's going to be the key to success. But the problem is, this year, you don't have the outside receivers. You don't have the typical Clemson caliber outside receivers. It's not enough that they be mature. It's that they have to be mature and talented. And I think it limits what you can do. I mean, I don't think it's a deficiency with Tony Elliott. I don't think so. I think that, and look, Coach Elliott knows that you need to maintain some balance. And he's tried to run the ball this year. I think there were some physical limitations in what you could do. Part of that was, I think Etienne played the second half of the year hurt. I know he got banged up in the Notre Dame game. I don't think he ever recovered. I don't think he was ever healthy from the first Notre Dame game on. I don't think he was. And I think it was pretty obvious, but Elliott tried. You know, he tried in that first Notre Dame game I think he gave Eaton the ball 17, 18 times. He tried to retain balance and to run the football. And he had to because he had a quarterback who couldn't run, and he had to try and protect him because he knew he was going to be primarily a pocket passer. I just think that there have been some limitations. Now, you know, keep this in mind. I think these limitations apply to virtually everybody. It's not like we're seeing multiple teams every year. The numbers are all going up, all right? The offensive numbers are all going up, but it's not like we're finding multiple teams at the end of every year that can do what I'm saying, score the 50 points, put up the 600-700 yards. It's more like there's a team a year that is doing it. Again, all the offensive numbers going up, but to win the national title, it's these historically special offenses like LSU last year, Alabama this year. And the question is, who will be that team next year? I think Clemson clearly has some of the ingredients for next year. I also think Oklahoma clearly has some of the ingredients. Other than that, I'm not sure anybody does. Quick break.
Broadcasting live from the Priority One Security Studios, WCCP 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT, 1560 Cowpens, 97.5 Spartanburg, the Upstate's number one choice for sports. We are the Roar.
Thompson and King want you to know that there has been an important change in veterans' rights. Vets or widows of vets who served in Vietnam in the Navy may now be able to receive Agent Orange benefits. Public Law 116-23 is known as the Blue Water Navy Vietnam Vets Act of 2019. These Blue Water claimants may also be eligible if their claims were